Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you're listening to El Islam-based conversations. It's kind of been a strange day, but not so strange when you really look at the times that we're living in. I won't get started on that. Let me open up like I usually open up and get in the habit of opening up this way. A lot going on, a lot of moving parts, a lot of things happening in life and in other people's lives, you know. But a conversation, that's what we want to try to have. And one that does not insult your intelligence or waste your time. That should get your attention, you know. How many times do you have conversations like that? Can you get them just by call? Could you go to the store and buy one? You know, do you rally with friends on regular occasions and so you can have one? So I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to elevate the recognition and the value of a situation like that where someone is not going to waste your time or insult your intelligence. And you should make the inference that if I'm not going to, or they're not going to, or this is not going to insult your intelligence, then it's going to do what? It's going to elevate your intelligence. Now, once again, we go back to that concern of telling us what to think, but showing us how to think. Big difference, you know. And also giving a little attention to four things: history and scripture and time with something or somebody or some entity, you know, and kind of what the saying says, that if it was easy, everybody would do it. See? So examine what we're doing and why we're able to do it and why we're able to have some success and why people are responding the way that they're responding. Because there's something that we may be missing. There's something that we may not be thinking about. There's something that we may not be used to, and therefore we don't really give it our all. We don't really trust it like we really say we do or like we really should. Because when we really do that, we see the promise that Allah gives or the Creator gives or that God gives to every people, to everyone who claims to know that there is a God and believe in that God, and they say they serve that God and they say they worship that God. You'll look back just like they look back and you'll see the miraculous way your life went once you decided to not only say you believe in that God, but to trust in that God, put that God first. You know, in God we trust. That's what its statement was made. That's what there was on the was and still is on the money, what the government was saying, what the schools were saying. We would pray allegiance to the flag and say a little prayer. That's the past, quite the past. I mean, it didn't get reviews. Okay, we're going to try it this way for 30 days or 45 days or 2 years, and then we're going to get back and see if we can do what they call compare and contrast. Look at the comparative difference. It's futile, because you're going to realize right away that things started to go downhill when you took prayer out of school because of some atheist lady who said she didn't want her son exposed to that. And so the government being the federal government that they are, abided by her wishes because she got right through and the next thing you know, she's dead, I think by suicide, and her son is renouncing the atheist position that she took. But did it wake anybody up in the government or in the controls that no, they didn't go back and say, you know what? Whew, we dodged the bullet. Let's get back to what we had, you know. Like, they were so upholding to the Catholicism, Catholic, you know, you ate fish on Friday. I didn't really know why I was eating fish on Friday. I just knew it was good fish. You know, the patties and the sticks, fish patties and fish sticks, they were good. Still are good. In some places, they do like they've been doing. They cheat a little bit and have the ratio and the whatever they do to, when they cook it. I think it's fried. And it's not what it used to be, I'll put it like that. And so once again, I'm inferring that once the prayer went and once the Pledge of Allegiance went, the country went with it. Slow, subtle. It is just, you know, if you weren't paying attention. My attention span goes back, but then I got distracted like anybody, especially that age. I was young and dumb and didn't really realize it, didn't really acknowledge it, didn't really believe it. I thought I was pretty cool. Thought I was hanging out with the cool people. Had my clothes, had my music. Sound familiar? Not just to you, it's what's going on. If you be around children like I do all day, then you see what they're doing and what they think is cool. Not a child that I see that doesn't have a cell phone. Now, some of them, it is their, it's an extension of to their hand and of their hand. It's there. Everywhere they go, everywhere they do, they got their cell phone. And it's so, it's so many people doing it. It's like an epidemic. And if you don't have one and if you don't talk and speak the language that they speak about it and how it works and how wonderful it is, and they get to do their homework on it, they do emails on it, they check the status of this, they listen to their music, it's just on and on. Technology rules and information. I had some questions this morning, and I didn't know what the answer was, but as soon as I asked Google, it went into deep details about my question and gave me the answer. And that's what's really, this country is going crazy with the abilities of artificial intelligence. Google, Yahoo, AOL, all of those people, you know, and the new ones, the GPT and all of that, GTP, GPT, I'm not sure which one it is. But the father of this, they had him on the interview and they asked him about how does he feel with the breakthrough. And he said it was a 50, because the guy asked me, he said it was a 50-year journey just for him. Now, he didn't even talk about the forefathers, the pioneers, the people who just suspicious that they had something, had managed to do the one thing that gets you looking like you got something and looking for what you think you got by saying, what if? Those are the two words. Those are the two magical words that start the ball rolling and lead us into whatever and causes us to leave God out of it, leave the Creator out of it. Get the resources, get the benefit, get the blessing, and then take the credit. Game over. You just lost. Severe penalty also, too, because the more you do, the more you think you don't need God. You don't even say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for opening my eyes. Thank you for showing me a resource that I have been looking right there in the room all the time, right there on the planet all the time. But I didn't see it. Now that I do see it, and it's making millions, and I'm getting all kind of accolades and all kind of people talking about me and talking about what I just did and thanking me, and I can put any price tag on this. I can, you know, I can sit. And that's what Elon Musk did. His first Teslas were designed for rich people only. He said, my strategy is I'm going to sell to rich people. They're going to buy it. And then with that money, I'm going to take it and I'm going to make one affordable for the average guy. And he lived to us what he did. But him and the other people who started, you know, got falling in love with this artificial intelligence and believe it is the end-all, be-all, and he's populating children, but he's populating children with women who have a certain IQ. So he puts his IQ with their IQ and his genes with their genes, and you produce, he don't say it like this, but super race. Elitist thinking, born, raised, day one human being that's going to take over and manage the rest of the world for the rest of the world. I'm going to say that again. Manage the rest of the world for the rest of the world. That's how serious he is and steeped in ignorance and steeped in darkness. You say, but how can he be in darkness? Look what he's doing. Yeah. That's what lets you know. Look what he's doing. All of it. Not just the good part. You look at the other parts that he's doing. He's actually telling people that there may be a danger with what we're doing now. It's good. It's great. It's wonderful. It's convenient. It's the greatest and the latest and the latest and the greatest. But there's a possibility that this artificial intelligence could get so intelligent, because it's already doing things that we had no idea, no belief, no way in, you know, we thought. The father of it all, he said he didn't think it was going to come to fruition. And when it did, and the level that it opened up and what it started, you know, it just, whew, and another thing, and another thing, and another thing, and wow, and wow, and more people, and more money, and more accolades, and next thing you know what you are. You're drunk. Literally drunk, but drunk at what you just think you discovered, and you are now getting ready to share it with the rest of the world and benefit them in a way that they will do what? Bow to you. Love and just have high expectations because of your intellect and your patience and your ability. So that's why you look at the scripture, which is what we're looking at now for a minute. Not to look at scripture, look at the scripture, the role that it plays, what it does, how it helps us in a way that we can't even imagine. It does what we can't do, what we don't think about doing, what we don't probably do correctly. We get mad and get angry and get upset or get intimidated, and the progress doesn't get made. The problems don't get solved. The courage doesn't get online, on board, because you give them too much credit, give them too much power. See? When we approach it, we almost say the devil or the wrong people or the corrupt people have just as much power as the good people and the God-fearing people and the sacred regard for certain things that need that sacred regard. They're not the same power, because these people have the microphone and look what they're doing. Look at the world. Look at the state of the world. Look how it's going. Look at the phone call, and you know, things change and power gets shifted, and what used to be going this way don't go this way, and what used to be available for this people not available anymore, and wow, how do we stop it? We stop it the minute we start giving our fear to it. That's the strategy that the Satan and his followers want to bring up, because the mystical, magical way that the Satan presents it is like, you know, come on. You're hopeless. You can't change this. You can't turn it around. And it's turning around as we speak. But what's the problem? It hasn't happened in our lifetime. It's happening in our lifetime, and we don't really know it. We didn't know what to look for. We heard all the Armageddon and all the dangers and the end of the world and God and may God, all everything we heard about the book. What we didn't hear, what we didn't think, is that it could be happening right as we're speaking. But in order to really see it with accuracy, You either have to have had someone help you see it, and we've had that. We have had that. We do get that. We can go get that right now. Or you can stop, look, and listen, and get converted that this is the hand of God at work. This is God calling in all bets and disrupting all sinners and pointing them out and telling the people that you can go with them and they will lead you astray. You can be afraid of them and they will scare you in a way that you think you give up all the power to them. And once that happens, they declare victory. We got them. We got them in our back pocket. But they don't know what to do. They're scared. And the fear comes from we don't believe that God is in control. He's going to control this. It's not going to end the way it looks like it's going to end. I don't care what I see. I don't care what they say. I don't care what's going on. I don't care who shot John. I don't care how much money they got in the bank. I don't care how many guns they got. Type of courage. Not just to be able to say it, but to put your chips up if they need it. We're not gambling people. I'm not suggesting gambling. I'm suggesting putting your effort, your energy in a place to let people know that this, me and the people in this house, this is what we believe in. And we lay everything on the line for this. I was a little bit nervous about coming back in time for the program. I thought I might get here a little late because I didn't know what I haven't gone to this place, but this, I think this is the second time. We go to the place, but it moved, and we've been going over here, and my wife don't like it. She don't like the place. I say, okay, wait. You like the doctors, but you don't like the place. So you're not going to go. You want to start looking for another place possibly because you don't like the place. You don't like its location. You don't like. You like the other place better. It was convenient. It was nicer. It was newer. It was But this place we've been going to, I think, like I said, the second time, they're giving her a better bill of health for her eyes, and he's a retinologist. So here's my point, like I said before. Where is this kind of talk coming from? It's coming from a world and an environment that breeds it. It makes us think that we have a sovereign right, sovereign belief about this thing. And when we get sick of it, we get tired of people doing us, jerking us around, we will jump ship. And as far as for this stuff, Sunday was Easter and Friday was Good Friday and whatnot. A lot of people went through the motions. A lot of people were true and sincere. They followed the covenants and things to the way that the best that they understood. And they had worship and devotion for what they call God, who God is, and do what they do. And they don't examine Easter and bunny rabbits having eggs that we go look for in some kind of field. And they've been colored up, and we find whoever finds the most wins the prize. I guess a lot of eggs and esteem of being the one who found the most eggs. Been so long, I forgot it exactly how it works, but it's still around. And I'm saying that to say that it's a ritual. It's a holiday. It's a tradition, but it has come to the point of diminishing returns. The world still does that and plays along with that. But there's too much intellectual, technological-driven stuff for people to be going through the Santa Claus thing anymore. Everybody say, hey, come on now. We have fun with it. You know, we laugh and joke. Santa Claus coming down the chimney. You know, Santa Claus kissed mother last night and all that stuff. Sing songs and we sing carols and do all that stuff. But really, when we get down to it, we let the people who are ruling, we let the scenario and the people who seem to have the power seem to be getting a lot done, we give the praise and the power to them. We go along with this. It's 2 days out of the week. We have holidays. We see our friends. We visit. We talk. We spend a little money on this and that. but it don't have the power it used to. I didn't even notice it until I became a Muslim. On those 2 days in December, the 24th and the 25th, and, you know, and prior to that, back in the day, shoot, you have your tree up already. You got your star on top. You got no more trees to shed in there anymore. You got to take that little thing that holds the tree. You got to put the water in. It's gone. You got a makeshift tree and got different light bulbs for it too. That one that takes all of them out. You know, you change that. You got a circuitry where that one you just replace it and keep moving. And when they came, you saw children out there playing and enjoying themselves to no end. You don't see that anymore. They still get presents. They still got the remnants of it all. But the reality like it used to be, people actually coming to your door and singing carols and oh, man, that all of that spirit is gone. What it got replaced by is a commercialization. People still buying and spending money. They got Black Friday now, and they got the other one on I forget what they call it, technology or something that they call it Monday. I mean, but they compete for the money, and it does what it still used to do, keep some people in business. They in the red until they bring out the red, white, and sometimes blue or red and white 11 for Christmas, and then it's back to a little bit of out of the red and into the black, seeing actual profit, seeing it make an improvement because of those 2 days and how much money people spend. They put their blinders on and they spend. They're not reading what the statistical data is saying, that even though you may have X amount of dollars, even though you might have a certain income, even though you might have been working for these people, even though you may have two incomes, you're barely making it. You're barely clearing it out, and you're living from paycheck to paycheck. Now, there's the people who've been doing that anyway, but I'm talking about the people who supposedly got money, got wealth, got riches, got a good job, six-figure job, two of them with his wife and him. They done got so much money coming in, they got so much more going out in the term of debt. Because what you pay for a luxury car, you used to could get a house. Now, it was a shotgun house. It wasn't the pleasantest looking at house, but you had roof and you had the ability to borrow on that house. Equity. That's what you had. I'm talking about poor people had equity. My grandmother bought the house, paid the last payment on the house. It was her house. And she worked her, you know what, off to get it. She gave it to my father, the deed, when she left. He started out in a way that was very progressive and was rare. He and his wife of X amount of years, because it wasn't very long before my grandmother passed and my mother and father got married. And she yielded over to him like it was supposed to be. She didn't give it to her daughter. She gave it to her son-in-law. And made him swear he was going to sell if necessary, but mainly keep it up and honor what needs to be honored and be a good, faithful husband to her daughter. And then she told the children, us as children, that she had done her best to introduce us to God and that there was a God, even though she didn't go to the institution that said that they were representing that God. And she had a clear explanation. The explanation is very clear. She said, how can you expect me to come to a building that says they believe in God, which they can't see, and they see me every day, and they treat me the way they treat me. They speak about me behind my back, and they only want to talk to me when it's time to take up the collection. She said, no, I can do bad by myself. And so she read the good book and tried to live a good life and tried to be in that number when the saints go marching in and made us very aware of the value and the responsibility and the accountability once you become a family member. You have to hold up your end of the bargain. You can't drop the ball because once you drop the ball, other parts of what we're holding up are going to suffer. So we do it all together in unity in the name of that God, and we get the results because we thank him, we pray to him. Every night, you got to say the Lord's Prayer on your knees. And they didn't have a hierarchy. They got down on their knees with you. I got on the side of your bed and said the prayer with you. Couldn't get no better than that. And it produced a certain belief system and a certain spirit that we don't have anymore in the average church, in the average one. In fact, cutting away a little bit, I said I'm around children, and I overheard this conversation with about five guys. One of them I know quite well, the one who was doing the talking. So I'm there emptying the trash, and I'm listening, you know, what they say, ear hustling. So I'm listening, and they talking. So everybody's telling their little story, you know. And you get a little laughter. You're talking about your parents doing this and all people doing that, or somebody did something, and the one who telling it, he gets the laugh from the others who are listening. So the guy that I know, or the gentleman that I know, he decides to tell a story he thinks is going to top all the stories. And it did, in my expectation. It was funny, but it was far, far, far from being a joke. So they talking and whatnot, and he said, well, my father and mother, they got to arguing. He said, and they were slinging mud back and forth. He didn't say mud, but that's what they were doing. He said, and then the mother tried to break ranks and get the son on her side. And as soon as she started down that road, his father said, don't you believe anything that B said. Now, if that's not the most damaging thing that you could do, I don't know what it is. As a father, you just told your son that his mother was a B and don't believe a thing that she says. Can you imagine? And he told it, and everybody laughed. And he felt good. His story probably was the top story and got all the laughter. That's what we're dealing with, people. That's the problems that people are having, and they're creating those problems for their own self, and they don't want to believe that. No, I was mad. She made me mad. She upset me. I'll call her one again. She do what she did. She ought to stop woo-woo-woo. And he go on a tangent as to try to justify and rationalize what he just said to his son, who's an older son, who's in college. I mean, he's in school. He's getting an education. And it's being negated because the environment is toxic. You can't get that mad. Okay, honey, we're getting too upset. The children are here. Let's cut it off, end it up. Let's go to another day, another time, maybe tonight. Go to a restaurant somewhere and talk civil to one another. Don't let your anger cause you to destroy your marriage and influence your family in a way that you can't repair, because you're not really thinking or aware that you are causing damage. And if anyone approaches you and reminds you or tells you or try to have constructive criticism to you to not do that, you know, if you're going to cuss your wife, you know what you're going to do to a friend, a so-called friend. That's what we're dealing with, people. That's the state of affairs. See? And we have to do a little bit more than preaching to get that turned around. We have to produce a community of people who are diametrically opposed to what in the way that they're going today. The F word and sex, not going to have the place in our community like it has in there. It's not something funny. It ain't nothing we want to do or lose our virginity or encourage people or not know that people are talking about their virginity like it's a medal you wear. And when you decide to give it away, everybody going to be, oh, tell me about what happened. And it becomes like street cred, or it becomes get in with this little gang of women and or get in with and get accepted by this little gang of men and women because you lost your virginity. And when you did it, you came back and told the people that you wanted to be associated with, I did it. So you don't tell them what you just did because you don't know what you just did. Virginity and innocence being lost is a major, major, major thing to play with. It is a purification and a protection that was given to us by our Creator, and we don't just put it out there just for anybody or for TikTok or for some people who don't even know what friendship is. They're coming from houses like the boy I just told you about. They're coming from exposure of language and vocabulary and being told that the F word is the most versatile word in the dictionary. It's a verb, it's a noun, it's an adverb, it's an adjective. Everything you can think of, the F word fills that boat and quite well. Thank you very much. You want to get somebody's attention? Use the F word. You want to tell somebody something? Use the F word. That's what they're saying. That's what they're marketing. That's what they're saying. That's what is the hot thing. Not just now. It was back in the day. I know I was middle-aged when I heard it. And guess what? They don't have to say it no more. The damage already been done. The stuff done already been sold. You know, the sacredness of what should have been kept has already been lost. See? That's why it's just like common knowledge. Like it ain't that important. In fact, they look at it as a liability. Man, so-and-so and they people, and they be having fun. They got the woo-woo crew. They got the woo-woo wrecking crew, and they have a lot of fun. Man, they be going to Chick-fil-A, and they be going over here, and they be doing this, and they be doing that, man. Ooh, and they ain't gonna tell nobody, but they drink a little bit, too. And I would say in the majority of the public and private schools in this country, maybe in the world, but definitely here. Because like I said before, I don't know anybody there that doesn't have a phone. Now, maybe some people who are not buying them yet, maybe, but even there, if you want to ask what you want for Christmas or what you want as a gift for your birthday, the majority of people, if they haven't gotten it, will tell you that's what they want to get. And they go to work. They know the ins and outs of these phones in a way we don't even know. And they're growing up on, see, that's another thing. We grew up on black and white TV, color TV. This stuff, the technological stuff that's promoting what they got, the big screen TV, I mean, 55 inches, 72 inches. Can't hardly get it in your car to get it where you got to go. It takes five people, to, you know, whatever. Then you got to get it mounted and you got to get it connected. And then you got to find a good company to have your cable and your Wi-Fi and all that, and your phone and all that bundle. Pausing because I'm hoping that someone's taking this in and realizing what we're just seeing here. The world is going to hell. It's in hell, and that's what we need to do. We need to inhale, take a deep breath. And take a look at what we've just been talking about. What I'm trying to share here, we need to get busy going in the other direction. Not running, constructing a path and a concepts and formulas and secretly driven and purpose-driven institutions that people can sit down and get a better understanding, not no quick grab, not no pamphlet. But actually see that this is a legitimate alternative to what's going on. And if you want to really get free and you want to really come from the extremes that are going on and the unrighteous stuff and the sacrilegious stuff that's happening, then you need to talk to people who are doing that. And they're guaranteeing results. They're telling you that they're just the messenger, and it's the message that really does what it does to make them be able to say what they say and do what they do. And because of that, And that's the way it really, really, really is. And they understand that and they believe that. When they do what I just said that they do, it is showing their gratitude. And that goes a long way with the Creator. It may not go far with man. Man may not give it that much credit. But that little entity, that little consciousness, that little part of what you do when you receive. I didn't finish my story, and I brought it back to my mind. So I was a little concerned about getting back. So two angels appeared, relieved me of that thinking, and get me here just in the nick of time. Now, let's walk through this slowly so we can get the understanding that I want to give, because it's very clear. Okay, I said two angels saved me. So what is going on? People with the wings on the back, looking all quiet and pure and holy? No. One lady coming out of where she was going to the doctor, and the Lord just put it in my mind. Well, ask her, because we couldn't find it. This was our second time going, so I'm kind of not sure, and my wife wasn't so sure, and she went in one place, and we said, nah, that wasn't it. I'm going one way, she's going another way. I said, wait a minute, let me shut this down. So I asked the lady, I said, look, hope you can help me, but I'm looking for room 302, and, is it over there where you just came from, or what? I said, because we're only on the second floor, because all we saw was two-something numbers. So she went right away. She said, well, yeah, she said, that building where you just came out of is probably over there, because there are 300s in that building, she said, and you just didn't get as an elevator that would take you to the third floor. And so we go back in, we look at the placard that's on the wall, and 303, so we know 300s are there, and then all of a sudden, 302, which is what we're looking for. So that was the dilemma that was jeopardizing the time and causing a division in between me and my wife. Because she decided all of a sudden, I ain't following this guy. He don't know where he's going. And so not only was she leaving me or leaving the confusion, she was manifesting a lack of trust in my leadership. I'm pausing because I hope we're hearing that. We as African-American men, if we don't do more to get our families in a position to where they are really committed to our family and what we're doing, and they believe in the leadership. It's not mine, it's dual. It's not me, it's we. And we put our eggs in one basket called trusting in the Creator, trusting in the Quran, trusting in the life example of Prophet Muhammad, and that's what we recognize when one is exhorting that particular logic when they speak. But if we let doubt and fear and, oh, wait a minute, hold on, nah, see, because this ain't, I ain't feeling it. I'm going over here. What is it? Divide and conquer. Little crack there. And then you see it grow. Hey, babe, So what happened? It grew from that day to this day because we didn't check it. And you don't check it by checking her or checking him. No, that doesn't check it. It just aggravates it. You go to the Quran, you go to the life example of Prophet Muhammad, you go and get your strategy together so that you can present it as, hey, we're drifting. We need to hit the reset button. We need to say the vowels over again. We need to watch, how we make decisions. They're full of emotion. See? And that marriage is half of the religion. Mating the intelligence with the emotions is half of thinking. if one gets ahead of the other and it doesn't acknowledge the mate, it goes right in and maybe goes to your heart. At some point in time, it not need a heart and go to the head. It goes right in and it goes to the head, and you just got, ooh, it's a great idea, but at some point in time, you got to take it down and see what the heart say. A purified heart, a protection that has, is the heart, because sometimes we shouldn't have the heart to be a little more sensitive about what we do and don't do. In a public setting, in a private setting, in a family setting. Our circles of friends need to be very much cautious. Too big a circle of friends, and the saying is so true. One weak friend can do more harm than 100 enemies. What's the logic? The enemy, you know he's enemy. You know they're out there no good. You know they're trying to be slick Rick. You know, you already see them. But the weak guy that's got opinions that are not Islamically born, or that's not born with a faith and belief that there is a creator, and then studying his word so you can understand how to apply it, well, then we can't be talking about what you think and what you feel, how this opinion, this and that. You have to narrow that circle down. He can still be included, but not to help do the decision-making, because he off the chain, we shooting up in space and jumping down here and moving along with stuff. Like, this is fluid. It's not fluid. Can withhold and withstand the test of time and can be put in place so that you can have a skill and a tool to address the situation you find yourself in. You can think your way out of it. You can use what you have in place to defend yourself or defend what you're trying to hold off until you can just make a decision. Walk away and learn to come back and fight another day. Every fight don't have to end physically. It don't have to end with somebody getting hurt, or it don't have to end with some revenge in somebody's heart. It can end simply saying, look, man, you know, we don't need to shed no blood or do whatever. Anything I can say to get this conversation repaired and back on track again, I'm willing, because I'm too old for be trying to do this, that, and the other. And I don't need to get involved in a situation that's just a little confusion, a little misunderstanding. And you take that all the way back, same thing with you and your wife making a decision. And it's done got out of hand because she's losing trust in your decision-making ability. And not only is she losing it, quickly she's stating it without even really giving it the thought that it needs, or the fairness of thought. Wait a minute, hold on now. We've been together X amount of years. I look what's happened so far with our leadership being the way that it is. Sometimes we do this, sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes my input, you know, it's like bane of sure, bane of whom. It's like the decision is not made by that. The decision is made by this. Whoever the creator blessed to get the right decision, or get the right information, or put the logic together, or put the scheme together. No, we can't do that, because if we do this, that's going to happen. And we don't want that to happen. We want this to happen. So let's back it up, revisit it. Okay, now what are you, give me your input. And as you think, and what about, let me ask you a question then. Okay, now let me show you tell you what I was thinking. I'm not, so, well, let's see if the idea don't sell one of us or both of us. Okay, so here's what I was thinking, and here's why I was thinking. Oh, okay. It's a case of the sixes. It really doesn't matter. And so what we don't want to be guilty of is I'm biased. I don't want to go that way because I want to go that way. I want to go that way because I'm the one recommending going that way. I want the power to be over here on this side of the car, this side of the chair, or this side of the house, or this side of the conversation. And I like it so much, I tend to want that a lot of the time. I just feel more comfortable when I'm in charge, when I'm in the driver's seat. And the environment that we're in that drives that kind of thinking, we have to look at it. And the best way to look at it is you do what Michael Jackson said, you looking at the person in the mirror. And if you like what you see, proceed with confidence. If you're not sure what you see, proceed with caution. Okay? And don't be hesitating when it comes time to do that, because we a lot's on the line. Because of our newness to this kind of thinking, you only get 3 strikes. You was already under the gun anyway. Not impressed. Do you know that they spend a lot of time on self-hatred? Oh yeah. If you read the Miseducation of the Negro, you know you know what I'm talking about. He said that stuff had gotten so deep that if it wasn't a back door to go in, we would go and build one. That's in the first pages. Wrote just about it, still relevant. So we better act like it. You can go on thinking what you're thinking, then you get mad. Man, you know what your mom said? You know what he did? Well, I hate somebody, mama. I'm talking about his so-called leaders and whatever. Did you see what they're doing? Did you see what they said? Did you see what's happening? Yes. In order to keep going, you got to keep growing. That's what happened. The individual, it's the formula or the concept that will put you on the path and keep you on the path, because the path we've told is straight and narrow. And guess what? Anybody told you? It's not horizontal. It's vertical. See, different logistic, different challenge. See? And that's what happened to a lot of people. They don't stay on the path because they're on the horizontal one. Sabil. Not Sarat. Two S's. Sound a lot alike. So once we correct, get the right language, apply it properly, results follow. Not immediately. It comes immediately. Not no hesitation stuff. Not no, now, do it happen all the time that way? No, sometimes there's a time lapse. There's a test going on. There's a check your beliefs going on. There's a looking at the message because of the messenger going on. That's the problem. Some of the time. Sometimes it's other. Because like I said before, we're unique. We're different. We got to understand that. And once we start understanding that and not reacting to it by wanting people to accept us, we guaranteed your acceptance when you get healthy and wholesome. You get full circle. You get pristine. You get taqwa. Taqwa is not prevalent in the world. It ain't just people who went through what we went through and suffering from it. No, it's in the world. People got a little bit of thicker Allah and subhanAllah and alhamdulillah and inshallah and bi'adhnillah, and we think we ready to take off with that. Proper application leaves you with proper perspective. And when you apply it or use it to address something, like I was saying, the power, when the power gets doubted, you come with evidence that it's very difficult to not believe. And it's not to indict the person, it's to educate the person so that the correction can be made. People don't like to be corrected anymore. You used to could pull people's coat and constructive criticism. That's no, I won't hear that. I don't think I need to hear that. I think you got stuff you need to be doing, trying to tell me what to do. And we have this area, as we kind of come to a conclusion here in a minute, we have this area and this concern that's generating that. Because this is America and this is the 21st century, and people want to believe that what was done back in the time of the Prophet Muhammad and Prophet Jesus and Prophet Moses, it just ain't significant like it was. It ain't like it used to be. And we can't roll it out in these new times with artificial intelligence and all these wonderful things we got. It doesn't. They're talking about camels and Oh, we got Teslas and we got Mercedes-Benz. And why you talking about a camel? So what should that tell us? Why is somebody saying this is universal knowledge, wisdom, and it stands the test of time? It's here to evolve us, to guide us, no matter the situation. And if we don't believe that and start applying it like it does that, we start believing in the fact that we got rights. And there's a word, sovereign. We got sovereign rights. These rights are the most exalted kind, supreme, superlative in quality, excellent, having generalized curative powers, potent remedy of an unqualified nature, unmitigated. Does that sound like us? No. Does that sound like what Allah tells you not to feel and think and want to be? He said, I have reserved all that for me, but not in the way that it's being spelled out here. But when I do with my mercy in mind, with my wisdom in mind, with you being considered, all that's in mind, taken in mind. And if you go back in your mind and realize how we evolved as a civilization, just a human civilization, a human family, and you see where we are now, and you see where we were according to history millions of years ago, caveman, couldn't talk, grunting, and finally got something written on the wall called hieroglyphics, and that championed everything, but that wasn't whatever. They produced Aristotle, Socrates, and all that, and, you know, great, great thinkers. And it kept moving the progress on and on to where we are now. But look where we came from. And look what we've done before we even got here. I was reading that they say, and this is, you know, this is, can be valid, it can't be validated, that the spider has been around for millions, maybe billions of years. The spider. And they say he formerly was in water before he came on board in land. Now, that's their recording. I ain't trying to do whatever. But my point being, spiders, ants, dinosaurs, all those were here before we were. When we got here, they were already here with the plan to do what we did with the vessels, fossil fuel. It was already here. They weren't just on the east side of town or the north side of town. They was wherever man was at, and then everywhere he went, he saw, he ran into him, and he got the benefit. All in the ground because of the dinosaur turning oil when he died. Big Tyrannosaurus Rexes and all, they saw him on TV and everything. So that's the state of what's going on. That's the evolution that's going on. And if we get tricked into thinking that he's not in charge now, it's not relevant. You just see what Sovereign said in there? That's what I'm, that's my guy Sovereign like thinking. I got this. I'm all right. Okay. So what you going to holler when you find out you ain't all right, that you in hell? And it's a hell of a situation to be in hell, because it's hard to recognize what heaven looked like when you've been in hell so long. It's hard to understand and believe and trust and get the benefit of something, because it's triple darkness. And somebody did a real good job of clouding up the issue and distorting the situation, and dividing and conquering, and double standards, and entitlement, and all of that is mixed up. And you're going to encounter a little bit of it on a daily basis. And if we don't have anything to negate or to repair or to medicate or to purify or to protect us, it's not going to be pretty at all. And we're going to doubt, creep. And next thing you know, we saying stuff like I heard people in the community and the Nation of Islam saying, you know, Allah is God, but everything's real. And that was their way of justifying it, like we do. Inshallah, knowing good and well, we're not going to do that, you don't believe we gonna do that. So and so want me to do that. I ain't feeling that. I ain't feeling that or him or her. So the unity that other people have, even though they have their differences, they know that if we don't stay together and we don't stick together, we don't unify one another, somebody gonna be in charge, and it ain't gonna be us. Okay. So even though people know Trump, President-elect Trump, is not a good leader, but they say he's better than the alternative that we would have to go through. We don't need another Obama situation, so we ain't trying to see that no more. So power. And people, man, I think they, Sojourner Truth, money, I think, coming out or something, I forget. They promised they was going to do it. I think it's Sojourner Truth. See, her hair tub, I'm not sure, but it really doesn't matter. It's a token gesture. You don't wait for this lady in the game to do that. If you really, 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 really believe, you know, this stuff ain't right, it ain't working, God forgive us, we're on our knees, we're asking for repentance and redemption, and we want to try to do right. And now, we ain't getting no reparation. Now, we're going to get out y'all's way and let y'all go ahead on and do right. And then when one of y'all succeed or fail, like one of y'all is doing right now, we're going to give it a fair shake and not say that y'all did it because, or he failing because he was this or that way. We're not going to do that. We're not going to report it like that. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying all that because that's the way they're reporting it. It's just monstrous what he's doing. It's terrible. We have to stop that kind of stuff and that kind of thing. He had access to power and money, and look what he was doing with it. Oh, my God. Terrible. We're keeping up on it. We're reporting it and keeping you advised daily about what's going on because we hope we get this kind of people off the streets and our streets will be safe again. Not true. You know? Most of the time, it's black on black crime. Okay, we don't dare go over there in an area where it's you know. Don't you come over here with that foolishness? If you do, you know what you risk: jail time or 6 feet under time, because you're gonna stick out like a sore thumb. You're gonna get recognized for what you are and what you're here for, and they got people who have been trained to keep the riffraff off the street and keep the neighborhood going strong by making sure that people coming in here looking strange, driving strange cars and talking this and saying this and trying to entice people here and do this, that, need to be rid of the community. And if you have to, shoot first and ask questions later. That's the state of mind. So it's not danger that black men face. It's danger that the people riding around doing stuff in areas that don't tolerate that, and they're acting like the sovereign stuff that I just got to reading is true. We've come a long, long way. We have to go a long, long way. We can look at what people who were subjected to what we were subjected to, and we can see how far they've come, and we can see what they did to come their way, and we can see what they're doing to try to hold on to that like it's theirs forever, in perpetuity. No, the covenant goes from person or people to people, and you keep it by keeping the covenant, and you lose it by losing what the covenant says you're supposed to do or supposed to be doing. And you can claim and scream and bring out documentation and say, see, that's why you see us what's happening, because we've been blessed by God. Okay, we the right hand of God. No, not true. You know it. And because of righteous people, now I know it. And it needs to stop. But I'm not trying to stop you. You're going to have to answer to the Creator for what you're doing or what you're not doing. But I'm not going to be doing what I was doing anymore. And what I'm going to do is different from what I was doing. I'm going to unite and work with my fellow Muslim. Because once we go public, it's not a black thing. You can't even make it seem like thing, black book, black thing. When the Holy Quran was revealed in Arabic to Arabs with an Arabic prophet, it did not mean there's an Arabic thing. It should be not any people teaching people to be Arabized versus Islamicized. But we all know we're human beings, and there was people getting off of that start, and then some people, hey, whoa, slow it down, man. You crossing that, blurring that line right there. I got it from here. Okay, you did your job. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. You know, and on and on and on. But right now, this didn't need to be done by me, for me, and, you know, to help me. You know, you did your job to introduce me to this. Now I got to get it and apply it to myself and my circumstances the way it's supposed to be. I ain't supposed to get no trappings and artifacts and thobes and bands around my head and henna in my beard. I ain't supposed to do that yet. If I do it and we decide we going to do that way, we going to not have nothing of our own or something a little more traditional, something a little more symbolic, something a little more whatever. Those people who did that in those countries that are doing that, they're having the most success because it's not an Arab thing. But if you're not careful, you're not circumspect, you're not conscious, you slip right in there, and next thing you know, your accent, your clothes, your everything is consumed. You've been believing something that you can not innovate and have a throw on, but in an African-American way. You know? If you're going to put something on your head, maybe you should invent something that you can put on your head rather than putting what's available. At some point, you can imitate only so far. You have to assimilate the good stuff that you find and leave the other stuff there because it's not a part of the religion necessarily. And I'll never have mine if I keep using yours. My own little version, I'm allowed that. The sovereignness is with Allah. And he said, I made you different so that you get to know one another. But here's the first part of it. I made you different. See? So you unite yourself differently than the other people do. That's the difference. That's part of the difference. It ain't the only part, but it's part of the difference. And if you don't do that, you get in where you fit in, and you adapting and like I said, internalizing this in a way where you becoming Arabized and not Islamicized. And before you realize it, it's already done happen. And you going out with your dawah and with your conversion and with your reverts and converts, and you're giving them a strong dose of Arabized teaching versus Islamicized teaching. Shouldn't happen. Before it happens, you need to be on top of it, not necessarily fanatically, but with a thoughtfulness and with a concern and with capable skills and tools that people can't refute. Because how come you're doing it and I can't do it? What's the difference between you doing it and me doing it? Why aren't you promoting it that way? Well, there's evidence that the people were hindering other people of color. They weren't whatever, homegrown, whatever. So there's still a little hint of that around. But don't worry about it necessarily. You check it by checking yourself. And make sure you're authentic and real. Make sure your identity is what it's supposed to be. Make sure your approach is Islamic and not Islamic. And everything will be all right. Problem that was a problem or getting to be a problem is no longer a problem because you have addressed it. Added dress. Just as you add, you do what? Subtract. They work together. Some things need to be added. Some things need to be subtracted. And they got names, mathematical names and terms to show you what the reason behind it or rationale behind it and why it's done and the benefits of doing it. And you see that it's sound because math is sound. tool that we've been utilizing for a long time. And it continues to do what it do, so it continues to be utilized. And it gets categorized in a certain times and certain heights and certain whatever because it feels that way. But you have God's word to check those kind of things so that you see that it's ayat or it's this or it's that, but not go too far with it. Don't go too extreme. Don't whatever. Give it a position that it shouldn't be given. And it'll be okay. Okay, so I said about as much as I'm going to say, I want to say. So I'm going to make one round. We got about 22 minutes. And I don't want to take the whole full 22. So you have a need to ask a question, answer a question, or just state something in general that you think we need to hear. Open the floor for that. So push one on your phone to come in if you have a qualification for that. Otherwise, I am going to close it up for today and wish you a sound greeting of Ramadan Mubarak. And tell you or share with you that the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday program is following man equally as potent and focused. And if you've been listening, which you have been listening, you know the times are changed for Ramadan, 5 in the Eastern and 4 and I think in Pacific, and then Central, I think, and Pacific is 2. And like I said before, we have a variety to pick and choose from. And from on Tuesday, I think from Rashid Salam, and Wednesday we have Mark Shaheed and his group of people talking about marriage and the like and whatnot. So then you have Thursday, some sort of a repeat performance, and Thursday and Friday also in MGM, and Saturday the book club. I'm not sure the time. I think it's 1 o'clock, but it may have changed too with the Ramadan. And Ramadan coming to an end, slowly but surely. Looking for next Sunday or Monday to produce the end and Eid al-Fitr. So that's what's going on. I hope that all is well. And then, you know, we have Sunday, we have, I think, Michael McHale with his program, I think, Words Make People. I'm going to get this. I'm going to promise myself, as I did the other promise, I'm going to have a list of what comes on from Tuesday all the way back again to Sunday. Make a commitment to a verbal commitment on the program to do that. But having said that, we're about ready to close. We appreciate your presence, appreciate you hearing, acknowledging, and declining. And we want to say we hope that you heard something that will be able to benefit to you, or will benefit to you so you can benefit others, because that's really what it's all about. And it's not about going out and doing that specifically as much as the Dawah program and the leading by example and the Islamic education just pouring forth and being a legal, legitimate alternative that it is. You know, you live the religion, you love the religion, others will want to take a look at the religion. It's just that simple. And when they take a look, if you are sincere and committed to what you're doing, they won't see inconsistency, they will see consistency. And consistency is something that Allah loves. He rewards people who are consistent, and he doesn't reward, because he can't reward, people who are inconsistent. So thank you very much. We appreciate your presence. We appreciate being given an opportunity to share. We say, like I said, we hope you heard something that will be a benefit to you, and you can take it with you through Ramadan and through really something like this we're talking about is something that's benefits you in your life, for your life, for the rest of your life. I mean, we can close with that. And we greet you with the greetings that only Allah can give, which is the peace that only Allah can give. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And Ramadan Mubarak.